ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाक्षोऽरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ऐ टेल् यू दिस् पर्टिक्युलर् सेक्शन् दि सेकेण्ड् मुण्डक सेकेण्ड् सेक्शन् आफ् सेकेण्ड् मुण्डक इस् रियलि अ वेरि ब्यूटिफुल् सेक्शन् बिकास् आल् मन्त्रास् आर् वेरि ब्यूटिफुल्. And here, Paramatma Swarupam, Parabrahma Swarupam, how reality is, in what form does it obtain? The nature of reality is beautifully unfolded in all these mantras. Last class we saw mantra, first mantra, and we have to go to the next mantra today. Actually, better to memorize these mantras. Avisannihitam guhacharam nama. Avisannihitam guhacharam nama. Mahatpadamatraitat samarpitam. Mahatpadamatraitat samarpitam. Ejat pranan nimishaccha. Ejat pranan nimishaccha. यदेतज्जानथ यदेतज्जानथ सदसद्वरेण्यम् सदसद्वरेण्यम् परम् विज्ञानात् यद्वरिष्ठम् प्रजानाम् यद्वरिष्ठम् प्रजानाम्. Have you completed this verse, mantra? Yes. Now, you have to go through every word. Now, all of you have got this book also. After listening to the class, and if you again go back and see this, read every word of this book. It's the codex and notes, complete notes. It must be very, very clear. Again, if you have any doubts, you can always feel free to text me or ask me. I don't think you'll have any doubts. I'm saying if at all you have any doubts. And I think Monday evening class again you started reading the text. All these days you had holidays. Now don't miss to read this on Monday evenings. But even if people whoever is there should take a lead and do suppose in case Arnaji is busy sometimes also see that Mondays, okay, this month you take care. See you all read. Okay, let me go next mantra. Do you remember in the very beginning, the disciple Shaunakaha asked his teacher, Atharva, the Angiras. The teacher was Angiras Rishi. The student was Shaunaka and he asked him, what is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? Which means you need not know everything else. You want know one thing, it's enough. Why? By knowing one thing, how everything else becomes known as it were? Because everything else is mithya. Only one thing is satyam. Mithya means what? Mithya means that which is not really there, that which is as though, that which is seemingly there. It is not mithya, that which is mithya is not unreal, it is not non-existent. At the same time, it is not really there. it doesn't have independent existence of its own, so it cannot be counted as reality. Whatever is there as mithya is only manifestation of the only satyam, the truth. Therefore, knowing the satyam is as good as knowing the mithya. And everything else is mithya here. The entire objective universe is mithya. The jnaya prapanchaha, the universe, objective universe is mithya. Even the knowledge of the universe is mithya. The known universe is mithya. The knower status attributed is also mithya. So the knower, known, knowledge, triputi bhedaha is mithya. And time is mithya, space is mithya. And all the forms, names and functions, the elementals, the elements, existing within the realm of time and space, everything is mithya. Experiencer status is mithya. Experiences are mithya. All pairs of opposites experience are mithya. Everything is mithya. Then what is satyam then? What is that satyam? That which alone is a satyam. And satyam is the very reality, the truth obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge. The source of knowledge. The source of manifestation. The source of all powers. The source of all gunas. The source of everything. Without which there cannot be power, there cannot be powerful, there cannot be the world, there cannot be experience, there cannot be anything. And that truth is the form of pure knowledge. And which is free from all divisions. Is a divisionless, indivisible, partless whole reality. Alone is satya. And there is no distance between satyam and mithya. Therefore, satyam alone is manifest as the mithya prapancha. Therefore, knowing the truth is as good as knowing everything else. So, that was the question. Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati was the first question asked. Now, Shaunakaha got an answer in his first verse itself. Avisannihitam, avihi, that by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were is of the nature of self-effulgence. And it is there as the nearest self, sannihitam. It's also known as guhacharam because always it is there as the truth of every thought in the cave of mind, as the truth of very eye. And this is the great, most exalted, because everything else is submitted here, offered here. And this is free from all forms and formless things. And it is even distinct from all the manifestations. As the source of manifestation, he is most exalted of all the beings. And therefore, yeta janata, may you discover that. If you know that, you have known everything else. It's as good as knowing everything else. So knowing Brahma does not make everyone know everything else. Knowing Brahman is as good as knowing everything else. Because everything else is mithya. Okay. Because the satisfaction, parama triptihi, paripurna triptihi, the absolute satisfaction is possible only in the wake of this knowledge of the truth. Only when this jnanam is there, there can be absolute peace, there will be happiness, there will be satisfaction. Otherwise, the sense of dissatisfaction, sense of insecurity will continue to be there, irrespective of whatever, in spite of accomplishing, achieving everything else, also is also. It's unavoidable. That is why it's called absolute jnana. The knowledge of the truth is said to be absolute knowledge. It's absolute wisdom, because this knowledge alone can free one from bondage. Anyway, these are known things. Now we'll move on to the next, second mantra. Yadarchimat, yadanubhyonu cha, yasmin lokani hitaha.
Yasmin lokani hita lokinascha.
Tadetad aksharam brahma. Sapranastadu.
Vangmanaha.
Tadetat satyam. Tadamritam. Tadvedhavyam.
Somya viddhi.
I'll repeat again mantra. Yadarchimade. Yadarchimade. Yadanubhyonucha. Tadetadaksharam brahma. Sapranastaduvang manaha. Tadetat satyam. Tadamrutam. Tadvedhavyam somya viddhi. Yadarchimade. Yadanubhyonucha.
Yasmin lokani hita lokinascha.
Tadetadaksharam brahma. Sapranastaduvang manaha. Tadetat satyam. Tadamrutam. Tadvedhavyam somya viddhi. Yadarchimade. Yadanubhyonucha.
Yasmin lokani hita lokinascha.
Tadetadaksharam brahma.
Saprānastaduvāṁ manaḥ
tadetat satyam tadamrutam
tadvedhavyam somya viddhi.
So again the teacher says, "Hey Somya, viddhi. Hey Somya, viddhi. Somya, O dear one, O pleasing one, O beloved one." A Somya is an expression of endearment. O pleasing one. Viddhi. Viddhi is an imperative verb. Second person singular imperative verb. May you know. Viddhi. Vidh is the root and the he is the. Like dehi, pahi. You know. The he. The he because sandhi root becomes viddhi. Vidh plus he becomes what? Viddhi. Viddhi, may you know. Second conjugation root. Veti, knows. Viddhi, may you know. Pati, protects. Pahi, may you protect. Like that. So, may you know. Say Somya, Viddhi. What should you know? That is said. Vedhavyam. Tad vedhavyam. Vedhavyam, that which must be known, which should be known. No choice. A moksha is wanted. If moksha is being a choiceless end is very clear, then you are pursuing moksha, you want to accomplish moksha, you want to discover moksha, what choice do you have? No choice. It must be known. Truth should be discovered. Reality should be discovered. Because discovering reality is the only means of discovering freedom, only means of discovering happiness, only means of discovering fullness, this only means of discovering peace, because reality is of the nature of fullness. Reality is of the nature of freedom. There's no other shortcut method. Jnana deva kaivalyam. Is there any other way I can, should I really know the truth? Really? Is there any other way? The choice, sometimes you can ask doctor, is there any other way, any other medication? Reduce the dose, increase the dose, or give a different company medication. No, this causes physical muscle pain. Give some other something else. You have choice there. You have no choice. You like it or not, if moksha is the end, then means is only jnana. Knowledge. The what should be known? The truth must be known. Vedhavyam. Tadu vedhavyam. That truth must be discovered. It must be known. That must be discovered. That which cannot be known as an object should be known. Okay? That which cannot be known as an object, it is unknowable, but still it should be known. Not as an object, but as the very swarupam of the subject. And the truth of the knower, it must be discovered. Vedhavyam Viddhi. May you know that which should be known, which should be understood. Okay? Vedhavyam Viddhi. Hey Somya, Vedhavyam Viddhi. Tad Vedhavyam. That, may you know that which should be choicelessly known, understood, discovered by you. May you know that. And what is that? First we start from here. Tad Yetat Satyam. Tad Etat. The two pronouns, Tad is also third person singular pronoun meaning that. Etad is also third person singular pronoun meaning this. So together you should take it as what? That reality. Tad etad means that absolute reality, ultimate truth of the whole cosmos. Obtaining as the truth of every individual as one's own self. So tad implies the truth of the whole universe. Yetad implies the same truth being the truth of one's own self. As nearest to self. Tad means that. Yetad means this. Why two different pronouns? Because tad means that. Yetad means this. That reality. When do you say that reality, that truth, that Brahma? No, that, because the truth of the entire cosmos, the truth of time, space, the truth of elements, truth of all the elements, truth of all the elementals, truth of all the living beings, truth of all non-living things, truth of all actions, truth of all the laws, truth of the order, the truth of experiences, the truth of all paths of opposites, the truth of actions, the truth of results of actions, the truth of the laws which are given the results of actions, the truth of the everything here is implied by the pronoun tad, that. And that truth is here, thus the truth of objective universe is here as the truth of the subject, the knower, I. As the nearest to self. For tad etad means that Brahma is what? Etad, obtaining as the truth of an individual is satyam. Satyam is what? Truth. That reality implied by the term Brahma, obtaining as the truth of an individual, implied the term Atma, is satyam. Okay? Reality is satyam, the truth. And that satyam, tad amritam. Tad etat satyam, tad amritam. The truth is what? Amritam. Mrita is a participle, means dead. Okay? If you add visarga, mritaha, or mritam, also mortal. Subject to death. But amritam is immortal. The reality which is not subject to death. It's immortal. The one word implies what? If it's immortal, means it is no birth, it has no death, it is, doesn't undergo any changes. So beginningless, endless, changeless reality, which is of the nature of timelessness, which is ever immortal. This understood now, already you are distinguishing what? If the body has birth, body has death, body is a mortal. Body has death. Body one day will definitely fall and get disintegrated. Already you can see distinct truth is what? Distinct from the physical body. If truth is immortal, and how can the truth be the mortal body? Therefore, already you're shifting the truth is not any of the physical forms. All the physical forms in this world are subject to time. All subject to change. Subject to mortality. There's nothing which can escape mortality here. Nothing which can escape mortality. And being bound by this mortality is said to be what now? We say, that's why the mortals employ the term kalaha, time. Nothing which can escape time limitation here. Whereas here that reality implied by the term Brahma, obtaining as the truth of oneself, is the truth, is the reality, and which is not subject to time. Amritam, tad amritam. And that truth should be discovered by you. Okay, therefore may you know that, may you discover that. O pleasing one. Tad etat satyam, tad amritam, tad vedhavyam. Hey Somya, vidhi. Hey Somya, vidhi. See, tad etat satyam, tad amritam, tad vedhavyam. Somya vidhi. How many times tad comes? Tad implies what? Brahma. Tad Brahma vedhavyam, tad Brahma amritam, tad Brahma satyam, tad Brahma etad. I am Atma. Okay? Now, what is that Brahma which should be known? Again, as we go, come from the beginning. Yad archimat. You break, first take the word archimat. See, every word is beautiful word. Every word reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. No word can directly indicate the reality, but every word reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. So first word is what? You take yad. Yad is actually a relative pronoun. Dakarantaha yad shabdaha. And Brahman is what? Neuter gender word. Therefore yad. Yad, that which. Yad means that which. No, yad. And you take next word, archimat. You break the first thing, yad archimat. Archish. Archish means ray of light. And archi also means light. Archi. Yeah, we learned avihi earlier. Here archi means ray of light, but archi also means light, effulgence. Effulgence, whenever we use that, very important to understand here, always reality is implied by the term light, effulgence. In fact, the reality which is of the nature of knowing is the absolute light, the most exalted light. The light, why reality obtaining in the form of knowledge is said to be the light. Reality is not the light, but the light is reality. Why it is said to be light? If you take the word light, definition of the word light, what is light? That which lights up is the light. That which illumines is the light. That which brings anything to light is light. In fact, if there is darkness, things do not shine. If there is light, light by its mere presence brings opaque things to light. That's why light is called a light. Prakashakaha. Prakashaha is also prakashakaha. Two words. Prakashaha means light. Prakashakaha means illuminator. Prakashaha eva prakashakaha. Light itself is what? The illuminator is light itself. Prakashaha, noun, light. Effulgence. Brilliance. Whereas prakashakaha, that which illumines. So what does the light do to illumine? Just by its presence, it brings to light the opaque things. So we have different sources of light. We have sun, we have moon, we have stars, we have lightning, and we have all the sources of electric light, and then so many oil lamps, so many sources of light. Fire is light. So many luminous bodies. Lights. They're all said to be lights because they all shine independently. They do not depend upon some other light to come to light. And all these sources of light, that's been their presence, they bring other things to light. Of course, sun is the most exalted of the external sources of light. And here, from there, we have to shift our understanding of the meaning of the word light. And not only the so-called sources of light, such as sun, moon, fire, etc. as lights. Every sense organ can be taken as a light. Every sense organ can be taken as a light. Why? If you see the definition of light, that which lights up is the light. That which illumines is the light. That which brings to light something is the light. So your seeing power brings to light the form and light. The light itself is object which is brought to light by your own seeing power. Your seeing power brings to light the object called light. The light will be non-existent if you do not have the seeing power. Therefore, your seeing power is the light which lights up the light. Your seeing power is the light which lights up all these things which reflect the light. And your hearing power is the light which lights up the sound. Your power of smelling is the light which lights up the smells. Your power of taste is the light which lights up the different tastes. Sweetness, bitterness, sour taste, etc. Your power of touch is the light which lights up heat and cold. Like every sense power illumines its own corresponding object. Therefore, every sense power also is light. Okay? Light is not the sense power, but every sense power is also light. Is it clear? Every sense power is like the light. And similarly, the mind itself is the light. The light, mind is light as well. Why? Because unless the mind is functional, no sense power, the light in the form of sense power cannot function. You can see when the mind is non-functional in sleep, what happens to the sense powers? All five sense powers, the five lights in the form of five sense powers, they get put off. They become non-functional. You're fast asleep, mind is non-functional, mind is passive, inactive, all the sense powers get put off. They are non-functional. Then there's no such a thing called perception. There's only darkness of ignorance, the total darkness of ignorance. You do not know you are, you do not know the world is, therefore the whole world disappears, you alone or in sleep, not knowing your own existence, not knowing the existence of the world, without any duality, having the non-dual experience, not knowing you're having the non-dual experience, you are there. In sleep. What happened? The whole world disappears. It covered, remains covered in darkness of ignorance. The entire world remains covered in darkness of ignorance. Then the world is as good as non-existent. In sleep. Isn't it true? Therefore, mind, for the world to shine, for the world to come to light, all sense powers must be functioning, shining, and they must be illumining the world of objects obtaining in five different forms. Then the world enjoys existence. World shines. And for the sense powers to shine, glow, mind, they must be functional, for which mind must be functional. Our mind is also a light, superior to the light of sense organs. Sense organs are light superior to all the illumined world of objects. Now, mind, not only mind is the light, there is another light. In what form does that light obtain? One light obtains in the form of a sun, in the form of a moon, light in the form of a sense power. This light obtains obtaining in the form of a mind. My God, there's a light obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness. And but for the presence of which, blessing of which, the mind itself cannot become functional. Mind cannot even enjoy its existence. Mind cannot become sentient. Mind cannot become conscious. The mind that by itself is inert. We read in the previous mantra, Swayam Achetanaha. Mind is inert by itself. Subtlest matter, inert by itself, but becomes conscious, becomes sentient, becomes functional, becomes active, has the capacity to illumine sense powers because of its just mere presence. Itself is blessing, and the presence of consciousness is the blessing that because of which mind becomes functional. Mind enjoys its existence in awareness. Mind doesn't have independent existence of its own. Mind also, if mind can, mind is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. All the thoughts depend on consciousness for their existence. Therefore, mind enjoys its existence in awareness, in consciousness. And consciousness is of the nature of knowing. Why does the reality know? Because knowing is its nature. We never question, why does the sun illumine? We never question, because it's nature. Similarly, reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, reality is implied by the term jnanam, chit, chaitanyam. Being aware is its nature. Being conscious is its nature. Knowing is its nature. Therefore, the three words are used: consciousness, awareness, knowledge. It's pure knowledge. Is pure knowledge the light? No, knowledge is not the light, but the light is knowledge. Why? Because by its mere presence, it illumines, it knows. It knows, knowing is illumining. It knows the state of mind. Reality knows the state of mind. What action does it do? Just by its presence. Mere presence, which means nature. If every state of mind is known, every experience is known, because there is reality. And what is that? Because the presence of which every state of mind is known, every state of experience is known, that is the reality. And why does it know? Knowing is its nature. Therefore, that because of the presence of which every state of experience, every state of mind, the changing states of mind, changing states of experience are known. And that is of the nature of knowing. That reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is a jnanam brahma, chaitanyam brahma, chit brahma, is what? Is said to be the light. Understand? That way people, because when they hear these words, reality is light, effulgent, and people come and tell, they do not understand what exactly it means. We meditate and we see light. My God, if you happen to see the light in meditation, I understand you are not really, it is some confusion. There's no light. Okay, any other light comes means you must have all the traffic lights, different colors, Christmas lights which you have seen and must have gone into the subconscious, they must be surfacing for us. Otherwise, there's no such a light. You have to understand why, how the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness is given the status of being the light, because illumining, knowing is illumining. Knowing is illumining. Being aware is lending existence, and being lending existence is illumining. Okay, bringing the objects to light. Being aware is lending existence, and lending existence is bringing objects to light, bringing things into light. Therefore, here it is this reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is the light. So here they said archimat. The mat means that which is endowed with light. Archimat literally means what? That which is endowed with light, like buddhimat. But here, that which is endowed with light, if I say Suryaha Archishman, if I say the moon is Archishman, is a masculine noun. Okay? And because Brahma is new to gender word, Archimat. Archish means light, effulgence. Because if we say sun is endowed with the light, that doesn't mean light is something possessed by the sun. Light is very nature of the sun. Similarly here, Brahman is Archimat, means reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, reality is the most exalted light. Therefore, it is effulgent, shining. Archimat. Is it clear? I finished the meaning of one word. Archimat. So, yad Archimat. Next word. Anubhyaha anuhu. Anubhyaha anuhu. See, nu. Nu is what? Cerebral. Isn't it? Na. Anu. You know how to fold the tip of the tongue and pronounce nakara now. So, anu. Anubhyaha anu. Anu means literally, in fact, even atom is called anu in Sanskrit. But here we want to say something smallest, tiniest, subtlest is what? Anu. And here, what about the reality, the knower, Atma, Brahma? This absolute reality is subtler than the subtlest. Anubhyaha anuho. There are many, many subtle things. And the reality implied the term Brahma is subtler than all those subtlest things also. Anubhyaha anuho. How subtle is the Atma? What is the meaning of the word subtle, first of all? Subtle in Sanskritam we say sukshma. Sukshma tamam. Sukshma subtle. Sukshma taram subtler. Sukshma tamam subtlest. Sukshma, sukshma taram, sukshma tama. What is subtle? First we say subtle means anything which is available for objectification is gross. Anything available for sense perception is gross. So what are you see? The forms, all the forms shine in the light. Light is gross. Light is a gross object. Sun is a gross object. The external world of objects is a world of gross objects. Because anything perceptible, knowable, recognizable, understandable through sense organs, either by seeing or by hearing or by smelling or by tasting or by touching, anything is known, it is a gross object. That's why we say gross universe, the perceptible world of objects. All five objects are the objects which constitute the gross manifestation, gross universe. Even the sound, which we don't see through physical eyes, but still we hear through the sense organ, power of hearing, is a gross object. Anything perceptible through sense organ is gross. Gross world of gross universe means what? All five objects which constitutes the world perceptible through sense organs is a gross world, gross object. We first start with sense powers are subtle. Sense powers are subtle. Why sense are said to be subtle? Because seeing power cannot be seen. Hearing power cannot be heard. The power of smelling cannot be smelt. The power of taste cannot be tasted. The power of touch cannot be touched. Therefore, all the powers, sense powers, which serve as instruments of perception, which are imperceptible. The sense powers serve as instruments of perception, but they are imperceptible. Therefore, they are subtle. So, perceptible is gross, imperceptible is subtle. Sometimes a visible, invisible, but still you can feel it. Isn't it? See, so invisible also sometimes, the sound is invisible, but audible. Therefore, it is gross. That's why subtle, what is subtle? Anything imperceptible through any of the sense organ is subtle. So first we have to say sense powers are subtle. So sense powers are subtle. Subtler than the external world of objects which are perceptible through any sense organs. Now we say, mind is subtler than the sense powers. Mind is, thoughts are much subtler than sense powers. A thought is subtler. Knowledge of any object which rises in the form of a thought is subtle. The known object, external object, is a gross object. But the knowledge of a gross object obtaining in the form of a thought is subtle. Because in thought form, in what form does knowledge obtain? The knowledge of any external gross object obtaining in the form of a thought is subtle. Thought is subtle. So mind, all thoughts are subtle. Mind is subtle. Emotions are subtle. Anger. Can you perceive your anger? Of course there is perception, but anger is known, but still subtle. Your hatred is subtle. Your hurt is subtle. Your jealousy is subtle. Your fear is subtle. Anxiety is subtle. Cognition is subtle. Recognition is subtle. Enthusiasm is subtle. They're all objects of knowledge. Desire is subtle. Likes and dislikes are subtle. They're all objects of knowledge. They're objects of knowledge because you know all of them. But still, what form, in what form do they obtain? You cannot see your anger, hear your anger, smell your anger, taste your anger. So it's not perceptible at all, but still it is available for objectification. Available for objectification, but still not perceptible through sense organs. Therefore they're subtler. Subtler than sense powers. So knowledge of existence of your own self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am is also what? Which comes and goes, we know very well. When it is there, waking state, it is not there, it's deep sleep state. It's a thought available for objectification. The world is the knowledge of the existence of the world in the form of a thought. available for objectification, but not perceptible through sense organs. Therefore, it is subtler. So world is external world of perceptible world of objects is gross, and everything which forms part of the universe is gross. Sense powers are subtle. Thoughts are subtler. Mind is subtler. Because only when the mind, the thought, at least each sense power is available for objectification. And objectification of sense power is possible only when there is a thought. When the mind is functional. The mind is functional, thoughts are there, especially aham vrittihi is there, then the sense powers are functional. And you, there is a knowledge. You know you can see or you cannot see. You know you hear or you not hear. Which means the powers are all object, the subtle powers are available for objectification. Which means that because of which objectification of sense powers is possible, is subtler than sense powers. Now I tell you, what is the subtlest? Even the subtle, even if I talk about atom, if you talk about molecular motion, or even if you talk about protons and even they're all imperceptible. Protons, electrons, all imperceptible. The motion, you talk about the motions, they're all imperceptible, but still they're all objects of knowledge. Imperceptibly subtlest, no factors which are there as objects, available objects of knowledge. Very subtle. Who can see the molecular motion through physical eyes? It's imperceptible. It's a fact. But still, it is available for objectification. Why? Because it is object of knowledge. Whether protons or whatever you say, all subtle facts, you know, molecular motion, etc., are all objects of knowledge. That is why the discovery of molecular motion, discovery of protons, discovery of electrons is all possible in physics, because they're all objects of knowledge. Anything discovered, known as a fact is what? An object of knowledge. Even if you say E is equal to mc squared, the equation which reveals a subtle fact, amazing subtlest fact, is an object of knowledge because it has been discovered and it is understood. Any subtle theories of Newton theories or Einstein theories, all of them are subtle facts. Already discovered means object of knowledge. Therefore, subtlest, if you say something is subtlest, that is an object of knowledge. The very fact you are able to say it is subtlest is what? It is known to you. Subtlest is also, therefore, but what is the subtlest? That subtlest is that, there's nothing subtler than that. What is that? It is the reality obtaining as the swarupam of the knower. The reality obtaining as the swarupam of the knower. The reality enjoying the status of the knower. As the truth of I is the subtlest. In fact, subtle, subtler, subtlest, gross, grosser, grossest, any object of knowledge. And the knower of subtlest, knower of the subtlest object is subtler than the subtlest. Knower of the subtlest thing is subtler than the subtlest. And being the subtlest is all pervasive. Subtler the thing, more pervasive it is. And subtler than time, subtler than space, subtler than the subtlest, because subtlest is also object of knowledge. Anything subtlest you say is object of knowledge. And the knower of the subtlest is subtler than the subtlest. There is nothing which is other than the knower, which is subtler than the knower. We see who the knower is. Knower is the subtlest. Because anything which is subtle, subtler or subtlest is object of knowledge. And the knower is the Atma, the reality implied with the Atma, which is the reality implied with the Brahma. Therefore, subtler than the subtlest. Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. Another Upanishad we come across this word, bigger than the biggest, subtler than the subtlest. However big something is, the biggest is object of knowledge. The biggest of everything is object of knowledge. And the knower of the biggest is bigger than the biggest. Knower of the subtlest is subtler than the subtlest. Because without the knower, there cannot be big, bigger, biggest, subtle, subtler, subtlest, small, smaller, smallest, no comparisons, no object is possible, no comparison is possible without the knower. Therefore, the formless, absolutely attributeless, formless, abstract, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which you have to arrive at only in terms of its nature of knowing, is the subtlest. Sukshmatamam vastu. I really enjoy what I'm saying. I do not know how you find it. I really see what I'm saying. I wish you're all with me. Or if you think, oh, what is it, boring, repeating. Because it is actually seeing. It is being with the vastu. It is seeing. It is the class is you are seeing. So, you say, anubhyaha anucha, subtler than the subtlest. Archimat, anubhyaha anuhu, number two, second word. That which is shining, that which is subtler than the subtlest. Now, next. Cha, and yasmin lokaha nihitaha. Yasmin lokaha. This sandhi has happened. Yasmil lokaha. The lakara gets nasalized. It's called torli. Oh, and this is a sutra. Okay. Yasmin lokaha becomes yasmil lokaha. Yasmin lokaha. Yasmin means what? It's a locative of yad shabda. Dakarantaha napumsakalingaha yad shabda. Tasya saptami vibhakto yeka vachane yasmin iti rupam. Yes, yad that which, yasmin that in which. Yad means what? That which. But yasmin means what? That in which. Locative case of yad. That in which. I repeat again. Yad is equal to that which. Yasmin is equal to that in which. Yadilo. That in which. Lokaha nihitaha. Lokaha nihitaha. Nihitaha. Nihitaha means remain existent. Nihitaha means actually kept, placed. Nihita is a participle. Literally means placed, located. Placed, located. Which means have their existence. Remain existent. The word nihita as a participle literally means what? Located. Placed. Kept. Lokaha nihitaha means worlds are kept. Worlds are hidden. Worlds are located. Worlds are placed. Which means worlds remain existent. Worlds remain existent means worlds have their existence. Yasmin lokaha nihitaha. That in which all the worlds enjoy their existence. All the waves enjoy their existence in water. All the ornaments enjoy their existence in gold. All the furnitures enjoy their existence in wood. Which means the furniture does not have existence of its own. It enjoys its existence in wood. Ornaments, chains and bangles do not have existence of their own. They enjoy their existence in gold. The waves are just forms and names, words denoting forms which do not have independent existence of their own. They enjoy their existence in water. They're located, placed, kept, hidden. They enjoy their existence in water. Similarly, all the worlds. When you say all the worlds, there are known worlds. There are unknown worlds also. We know only one world. Okay, we are here. The world where we are. Even this world we do not know totally. The world which we know is a very, very small world. Tiny world. Whereas there are so many worlds. Shastram talks about 14 worlds. 7 above, 7 below. Chaturdasha bhuvanani. Come on, even Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, Swarga Loka, Chandra, whatever Loka. Come on, no world exists independently outside of Brahma. Means all the worlds are mithya. So what about even Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala, seven Lokas. All of them, all the worlds enjoy their existence only in Brahma. Means no world has independent existence of its own. The interesting thing is that Brahma, the very existence of all the worlds, which lends existence by its mere presence to all the worlds, that in which all the worlds enjoy their existence is actually Brahma, which is you. That is the most interesting thing, isn't it? Who cares how big the Brahma is? It must be I, myself. Only then it is interesting, isn't it? If you come and glorify somebody else, so what? So what? You must know that most glorifiable is you. Then it is interesting for us. Swamiji always used to say, Vedanta class is very interesting for everyone. You know why? Everybody is listening to about one's own self. If somebody else comes and talks to you about somebody else, you'll be bored. Who cares? I have so many things to do, my own work. This person is really taking me time. Do I really care? What's happening to what other person? Who is doing what? When everything is about yourself, you listen. Shraddha, isn't it? It's all about you. Anyway, so yasmin lokaha nihitaha. That in which all the worlds enjoy their existence. Not only worlds, lokinaha cha, and worlds and the inhabitants of the worlds. worlds themselves exist in Brahma reality. Just as waves enjoy their existence in water, all the worlds enjoy, all the opaque things enjoy their existence in the mere presence of light. All the worlds enjoy their existence in Brahma, the consciousness. Not in the world, Lokinaha. See, Loki, Loke, Tish, Loke, Asti, Iti, Loki. One who indwells in the world, one who lives in the world, one who exists in the world is Loki. Nakarantaha, Pullingaha, Lokin Shabdaha. And the Lokinaha, plural. All the inhabitants, all those indwell the world, all the people, all the living beings, non-living things, everything, all the Lokinaha, all of them also have their existence in Brahma. Enjoy their worlds and the indwellers, the worlds and its inhabitants, the worlds and all those who live in the world, exist in the world, all of them have their existence ultimately in Brahma. That which is shining, that which is subtler than the subtlest, that in which all the worlds and the beings exist in the world, enjoy their existence, then she says that tadu, now that tadu yetadu, that truth, that reality which is of the nature of knowing, which is subtler than the subtlest, in which all the worlds and the indwellers of the world enjoy their existence, that is this. Tad yetad aksharam brahma. It is imperishable reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of fullness, which is of the nature of timelessness, which is free from spatial limitation, object limitation, but which is implied in the term Brahma. Tad yetad aksharam brahma. And that Brahman alone is there. Now, until now, we use the term Brahma to imply the reality. Therefore, it's a neuter gender word. Brahma is a neuter gender word. Therefore, tadu, yadu were the pronouns used. But now, saha comes. Saha is a masculine pronoun. Tad is also pronoun. Saha is also pronoun. But tadu and saha both are nominative forms of the same pronoun tad. Tad means that. So dakarantaha, napusakalingaha, tadshabdaha, nominative is tad, that. Very neutral gender is tad. Whereas dakarantaha, pullingaha, tadshabdaha means saha. Saha is a masculine pronoun meaning tad. Tad is a neutral pronoun meaning that. Is it? Same. Why masculine pronoun comes saha? Because saha indicates the atma. That absolute reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, thereby which is implied the term Brahman, is also the all reality which is of the nature of limit. All pervasiveness implied by the term Atma. Atma is a nakarantaha pullingaha atman shabdaha. Atma is a masculine gender word. That reality is Atma, the self, the reality obtaining as the innermost essence. Reality obtaining as the innermost essence of all the beings means what? Obtaining as the very truth of I cognition. If the pronoun, the first person singular pronoun I is used by all the individuals to refer to one's own self. How do you refer to yourself? How do you refer to yourself? There was a Sanskrit camp. One man came from Srirangam, a place called Srirangam, and he would not say I. He would always show, he told like this, I am Janaha Narayanaha. This person Narayana. He'll show like this, this person Narayana. Anyway, because I remember from my younger days programs, I still remember very vividly how what he will never say I am Janaha Narayanaha. He'll say, this person Narayana. Anyway, what I want to say, all of us use only one pronoun to refer to ourselves, which is I. And that I, which is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, which is distinct from all the thoughts which constitute the mind. And that I, which comes and goes, when it is that is waking state, when it is not that is deep sleep state, and that I, the source of that I is what? The innermost essence, nearest to self. Isn't it? Is Atma. And that Atma is what now? Pranaha. That reality is Pranaha. Saha, that reality obtaining as the innermost self, implied by the term Atma is also what? Pranaha. Pranaha, all the very life is that. Then tad u vang manaha, again u is just added to say indeed. Tad, that u, indeed vang manaha, vang manaha, two words, walk plus manaha vang manaha. Walk means speech, manaha means mind. That reality is the prana. That reality is the speech. That reality is the mind. Which means there cannot be prana without the reality. There cannot be speech without the reality. There cannot be mind without reality. Tad yetad brahman. Vang manaha, I've already said that is this satyam, real truth. And everything else is mithya. That is not subject to time. It is immortal, ever immortal. And that is what is to be known. May you understand that. May you know that brahman. See, the three words are taken. All subtle aspects of an individual are taken. Pranaha, manaha, vak. What distinguishes a human being from all other beings? Speech. Dogs can bark. Every animal has its own way of expressing itself. It makes noises. But no being other than human being is capable of conveying the ideas through speech. Walk is a very special skill, speech. Not one language, my God. Look at how many words, languages are there in the world. And how people survive with the language. All the languages come under the category of this speech, one word speech. All the languages of the entire world. Walk is Brahma. That is why whether Spanish or Italian or German, not only Sanskritam, I tell you, Tamil or English, every language, Bhasha, is vak, speech. It is Saraswati for us. Every language, even Urdu, okay, we have to see it as Bhagavan. Any language for that matter, any language is what? Any language, any word is expression. Language stands for speech, means any language is speech, and speech is expression of manifest knowledge. Speech is an expression of manifest knowledge. Therefore, speech is Brahma. And speech is dependent on manifestation of knowledge. Sometimes you become spellbound. You don't, nothing comes out because mind is blank. Simple. Mind is blank, you will remain silent. The mind is noisy, you will blabber. The mind is quiet, clear, you will make sense. What comes out of the mouth, whether it makes sense or not, doesn't matter. But there must be mind, there must be manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, speech is expression of manifestation of knowledge. Without the manifestation of knowledge, speech is not possible. And without the source of manifestation, there cannot be manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. Therefore, speech is dependent on thought. Thought is dependent on source of its manifestation. And the source of manifestation is not dependent on thought or word or speech or anything else. It's absolutely independent. Therefore, speech is Brahma. Manaha, mind is Brahma. Every thought is Brahma. Including the eye cognition, the word cognition, any knowledge, any cognition, any emotion is Brahma. There cannot be anger or jealousy or hatred or fear. No emotion can exist. Therefore, the function of mentation itself is Brahma. Mind is Brahma. Truth. Mind enjoys its existence in Brahma. Speech does its existence in Brahma. Knowledge enjoys its existence in Brahma. Knowledge enjoys its existence in truth, reality. Ignorance enjoys its existence in truth, reality. The reality in which knowledge enjoys existence, ignorance enjoys existence, speech enjoys existence, words enjoy existence, all the language enjoys existence is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, Brahma. Which is distinct from knowledge and ignorance. The pure knowledge is distinct from knowledge and ignorance. Therefore, vak, tad, u, vang, manaha, tad, pranaha. Because everything enjoys its existence in pure awareness. Tadetat satyam. Tad amritam. Tad vedhavyam. That is what the reality which should be, which must be discovered by you, understood by you. That is the truth by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were. Oh dear student, oh plus pleasing one, please may you understand, know, discover that truth. I think I have covered all the words. And rest you have to see in Monday class. In fact, the next mantra I will do the next class. It's already 11. Time, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My God, I thought I was going to do 2 mantras today. Huh? Anyway, the next mantra is Every mantra in this section is very, very beautiful. You will see that. And first two mantras are covered now. The next, now we will see. The next mantra, you will actually, the Omkaraha, Om, is thoroughly analyzed in Mandukya Upanishad. And here also with Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, on this next following verse, we'll understand beautifully the meaning of Omkara also, and how it is understood, it is used as a symbol to arrive at the nature of reality, obtaining as our own Swarupam. That we'll see in the next class. Okay? Om Yadachimadyanubyonucha Yasmin Loka Nihita Lokinascha Tadeta Daksharam Brahma Sapranas Taduvang Manaha Tadeta Satyam Tadamrutam Tadvedhavyam Somya Vidhi Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.